Well, yesterday I was looking at Mark chapter 7, and in looking at Mark chapter 7, the section we were looking at starts off with Jesus as he is talking to the Pharisees and some of the scribes. I'm going to read this to you from the New King James. Then the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things as you do." He said to them, All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses his father and mother will be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profits you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things that you do.'" So here's the Pharisees, and they're criticizing Jesus because there's traditions that men has. These are traditions of other Pharisees, of other scribes, of others who, as the years have gone by, have added their own. They've made additions to the word that they had up to that point. They made additions to the commandments of God. They've added to his laws. They've added the things that man says you should do. And so they became onerous, and they became a heavy burden on the people to have to fulfill the law of God, which was impossible, which is why we had the old covenant and now the new covenant. But they had to not only fulfill the law, they had to fulfill all the laws of men that were added on top of that, which were many. And Jesus is, when they come and they rebuke Jesus for, "Why do your disciples not obey the traditions of men, not the laws of God?" They're criticizing Jesus because his disciples are not obeying the laws of men. In other words, the things that men has said, spoken on behalf of God. Not what God said, but men says, "Well, this is what God means. Well, this is what the word really means. If God would have said it, he would have said this." So they've added things. And Jesus says, and what we were talking about yesterday is, we have to be careful that we don't fall into these things. And it seems like when you read this, and you think to yourself, well, like, we would never do something that blatant. Oh my, look around us in our culture today. The example that we looked at yesterday was the individual who's a very public individual, was a very strong pastor, preacher, and teacher. And about 6 months ago, I believe, he was on the Oprah Winfrey Show and basically was talking about gay marriages. And his commentary was that the church is moving towards the place where they will accept gay marriages. And when asked about that, he clarified and he said, well, right now, until the church... He said the church... This is how he said it. The church will become more irrelevant, more and more irrelevant, until they stop using 2,000-year-old letters as their best defense. He's talking about the Word of God. And he said that the church is going to become irrelevant until we stop using the Word of God as our best defense. That is the only defense. There is nothing that... The Word of God is true, has been true, will always be true. After that person and after Oprah are no longer here, the Word of God will still be true. Now, I say all that, not to come out with... You know, there's no hatred in anyone's hearts towards homosexuals, just in the same way. I don't hate someone that committed adultery. I don't hate someone that lied. I don't hate someone that committed the smallest, as we would see it, the smallest infraction of the things of God. Don't hate them. Love them. Want to see them walking in the joy, the peace, and all the blessings of Jesus Christ. But we're still told as believers to have a standard, and the standard is the Word of God, and the Word of God makes it clear that homosexuality is wrong, and marriage is very clearly defined in the Bible as a man and a woman. So these are standards that we have. And yet the world is putting increasing pressure on the church to accept the things of the world. And so we can see how there's a lot of churches, you're seeing more and more churches that are saying that this is acceptable and that gay marriage is acceptable. Now, this is not a message, about gay marriage. I'm using that as an example. That's just one of the symptoms. That's just one of the problems that we have if we allow the word to become secondary to the things of the culture. And if we yield ourselves to the pressures of the culture, we need to know what the word of God says. And we need to stand on that word of God and trust the word of God. Because if God says something in the word, it's not to punish us. It's not so that we don't have something. It's not to take something away. It's because God knows what's best for us. I was talking with a friend of mine last night. We were looking back over our lives, and we both, you know, he said something that struck me as being so, I won't say humorous, because it was funny, but it was also very poignant, because the thing that he said it using almost the exact same verbiage that I've used myself many, many times over the years. And what he said was, as he was talking about the difficulties of life, he said, you know what, I wouldn't trade all the hard things that I've gone through. I don't ever want to do them again, but I wouldn't trade them. I wouldn't give them up, because that's where I've learned. That's where I've become strong, and that's where I've learned to lean on Christ, and that's where I've learned to trust in Him. And that's where I see His nature and His character. And these are the same words that I've used many times over the last 30 years. And to hear Him speaking those same words really said something to me. See, the thing is, we go through life. The Word of God is given to us not so that we struggle, not to take things away. The Word of God is true, and it's always true. And so if I live the Word of God and I live on the principles of the Word of God, even when I go through hard times, I have the Word. I keep my focus on Jesus. I keep my focus on the Word. I will come through those hard times, and I will come through them victorious and as an overcomer. Now, that doesn't mean it was enjoyable going through it, and it doesn't mean I ever want to do it again, because I don't. But that's where you see, and that's where you see the nature of God. That's where you see the character. You see the personality. You see the faithfulness. You see His love, and you see the power of the Word. So God doesn't tell us things in the Word so that we don't have things. He tells us things in the Word because He knows what's best for us. And as my friend and I were talking last night, and we were discussing how we've gone through things, and I've said, you know what? I've come to realize that every time in my life, I have something that I look ahead and I think, this is what I want from my life. Whether it's for the next opportunity, a place I wanted to be, something that I was looking for. No matter what it is that I looked at and I thought, this is where I want to be, this is what I want to do, this is what my dream would be. What usually comes out is either to a small degree or to a large degree, different. And yet I will tell you without hesitation that in every instant, it's better than what I had thought or dreamed. And so many times I look back and I say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving me what I asked for or what I wanted, but giving me what You knew was best for me and where I would excel and I would be content. I would be happy. Thank you, Jesus. This is where I want to be. I didn't know it, but this is where I want to be. See, Jesus knows the things that are going to fulfill us, that are going to complete us, that are going to allow us to advance His kingdom and be used by Him in glorious ways. He knows what's best for us. And so when He gives us things in the Word, He gives it to us not to keep us from having something, but because He knows what's best for us, what's going to help us to succeed, and what's going to make us happy in Him, joyous in Him, and contented and fulfilled in life. And the joy comes from that contentment and that fulfillment. He knows it. And that's why the things are in the Word. So when the Word tells us something, like this is what marriage is, you know, the flesh might say something else, and there might be a temptation to add to it the wisdom of men and the wisdom of man. But every time we do that, we're going to be missing the mark. And God doesn't tell us something different because He doesn't want us to have. He tells us His Word, His truth, because He knows this is where we're going to find our joy in Him, our peace, and we're going to be happiest and have the most contentment. So here's the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're condemning Jesus for this. And Jesus says to them that they're hypocrites, and that they're the ones who have added to the Word. And this is exactly what we find the church doing. The church is adding to the Word and saying, well, if the church wants to be relevant to the world today, the church has to do these things. And all those things, whenever someone says the church has to become relevant to the world today, the church has to do these things, almost always what follows is compromise. It's compromise of the Word of God. And as I said yesterday, if you want to be relevant to the world, you don't become relevant by becoming like the world. Because then the world sees you as doing the same things and getting the same results that they do. That's not relevant. That's falling into the same mire. That doesn't make you relevant. It makes you just as weak. It makes you just as defeated. It doesn't make you relevant. Here's what makes you relevant to someone else's life. Here's what makes you relevant to the world. The Word. The Word makes you relevant because the Word is the place where they will find their deliverance, their hope, their answers, and they will find Jesus. And at their hearts, it doesn't matter what they say, because they are created by God, in their hearts, their souls long to know Jesus, to know Him, to become relevant to the world. We don't become like the world. To become relevant, we give the Word. We live the Word. This is what the Pharisees were not doing. And Jesus called them hypocrites. I'm just saying that as a church, as a body of believers, if we compromise the Word of God or the standards of the Word of God so that we become acceptable to the world, we're no different than the Pharisees. And we're no different than what Jesus said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men." Listen, if you compromise the Word of God, if you live by, if you yield to the pressures of men, or the dictates of men, or the wisdom of men, as the Pharisees were doing, if you yield to those things, Jesus said, "In vain they worship me." I said this yesterday. And I'll tell you again, vain means fruitless and without profit. If you've ever felt in times, let me modify that. I would say that the body of Christ that openly compromises the Word because they want to accept the wisdom, the precepts, the dictates of man and man's wisdom, they're going to find frustration because they're going to find that their lives and the Word becomes fruitless in their life. It becomes fruitless, of no profit to them, of no profit. Why? Because Jesus said, "Their heart is far from me." And so, in vain, fruitless, without profit, they worship. They don't gain the profit, the strength, the victory, the power of the Word. And that's why in verse number 13, Jesus says, "Making the Word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do." You know, it's amazing that man has the ability to make the Word of God of no effect. So Jesus said, make the Word of God of no effect. We make the Word of God of no effect when we believe the words of men. We compromise the Word and believe the words of men and the traditions of man.